Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. And if you don't want to hang on the line long enough to speak to me directly, you can always leave a voicemail. Go to SiriusXM.com/GetSirious. Once again, that's SiriusXM.com/GetSirious. Got a jam-packed show coming your way today. A lot of NFL stuff to get into, some baseball stuff to get into. Basketball season is about to jump off. I got a few things to say about this upcoming NBA season. Of course, I'm going to get into Caleb Williams, Troy Aikman, just a touch. And last but not least, the one and only Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst extraordinaire, is coming on with us before the show ends today. Make no mistake about that. Again, the number to call up is 888-623-3646. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. Listen, I'm a Steelers fan. I know that's hard to imagine because I'm a native New Yorker. And obviously the Jets and the Giants are in town. I don't give a damn. That's not how I feel. First play I ever saw was the Immaculate Reception by Franco Harris, 1972. And ever since then, I've been about the black and gold. That's me. When it comes to football, I've been a Steelers fan ever since. That has never changed, nor will it ever change. Having said that, however, I know they haven't been good as of late. I know they haven't won a playoff game since 2016. I know last season they ended with a 4-game losing streak in the regular season before getting beat down by the Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs, so they ended the season losing 5 straight games. I knew that Justin Fields wasn't the answer, just like I knew that Russell Wilson wasn't the answer, just like I knew that Mitchell Trubisky wasn't the answer, just like I knew that Mason Rudolph wasn't the answer. The list goes on and on and on. It's been a torturous ride being a Pittsburgh Steelers fan because of the quarterback position. Their defense has been more than good enough. They've had wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs that have been more than good enough. Even last year when they had Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris together, that was a stout running game, okay? When you look at some of the receivers that they had, they didn't have, you know, Pickens could ball. We all knew that, even though he was temperamental. And it's hard to knock a dude being temperamental, you know you've got such problems at the quarterback position and they're affecting your ability to get paid because they can't get you the damn football. All of these things are relevant. But now it's a different day in Pittsburgh, or at least so it appears. The Pittsburgh Steelers coming to Thursday night, tonight's game, against the Cincinnati Bengals, 4-1 on a season, atop the AFC North, all right? 2.5 games ahead of the Bengals, all right? 3.5 games ahead of the Ravens and the Browns. The Steelers win this game tonight, and for all intents and purposes, the AFC North will be wrapped up, except you can't rely on that definitively because the Steelers could nosedive late in the season. These are the kind of things that get on my damn nerves because I want to make sure that those concerns are not something that I really have to be worried about as we move forward. Make no mistake about it. That's what I'm thinking about. That's what I see. That's what I want to see. And I just got to give love to that bad man, Aaron Rodgers. He ain't that bad man anymore. But damn it, he ain't bad like he was last year either. As a New York Jet, he was 5-12. As a New York Jet, he was a shell of himself. But the bottom line is that if you look at Aaron Rodgers and how he's been playing as of late in this 4-1 record, these first 5 games of this NFL season, he's completing 69% of his passes. He's got 10 touchdowns, just 3 interceptions, a 105.4 passer rating, which ranks 8th in the National Football League. Average time to throw is 2.57 seconds, which is the 2nd fastest in the National Football League. Why is that relevant for tonight's game? Okay, on throws under 2.5 seconds, he's completing 81% of his passes, 8.2 yards per attempt, which is 2nd best in the National Football League. And here's the big statistic that we all have to pay attention to. Facing a Bengals defense that's allowing 7.7 yards per attempt on quick passes, along with 8 touchdowns, that happens to be the worst in the league. The very thing that serves as the Pittsburgh Steelers' strength, short passes out to somebody like a TK Metcalf or Calvin Austin, they make more out of it, all right? Give them lemon, they make lemonade. That's what the Steelers have been doing en route to a 4-1 record. And because of that, I'm looking at a game like tonight, the Cincinnati Bengals, is going to tell me something. I know that Ja'Marr Chase is in a Cincinnati Bengal uniform, top two receiver in the game as far as I'm concerned. I'm aware that T. Higgins is also in a Cincinnati Bengal uniform, but I don't give a damn if Joe Flacco, all right, Mr. 40-year-old wonder that is Joe Flacco, just got it traded to the Bengals from the Browns just last week. His first game as a Bengal, he threw the damn football 45 times. You know he's going to throw the football again. I get that part. But if this Steelers defense is worth anything, even with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, Joe Flacco should have a very, very uncomfortable evening. He's 40. He ain't running nowhere. He's a stationary target for the Haywoods of the world, the Cam Haywoods of the world, the T.J. Watts of the world, the Hotsmiths of the world, and everybody else. He's there to be had. Get him. Get him. You the Pittsburgh Steelers, you trying to fool us into thinking, or convince us, rather, that you're going to really have a chance to win a playoff game this year. You know what you do? You finish this man tonight. You make sure that the Cincinnati Bengals don't walk the hell out of this game victorious. You end them. That's what you do. I'm looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'm saying, what the hell is the problem? Last week, Joe Flacco, 29 of 45, 219 yards, two touchdowns, zero interceptions, still ended up in a loss to the Green Bay Packers. Now Flacco faces Pittsburgh. This is the 26th time in his career he will be going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're Mike Tomlin, you're very, very familiar with Joe Flacco. A matter of fact, so much so that you were a bit ticked off when he landed as a Cincinnati Bengal. You didn't appreciate that. You wasn't familiar with a team trading within a division. You got a guy that's your QB1 at the start of the senior, at the start of the season, 6 weeks in, what happens? This dude is all of a sudden off the team after being benched, and now is the starter for somebody within the division. And in the end, what it comes down to is that, guess what? That's not going to cut it. You can't be worried about what the Bengals have right now. That's not your problem. Your problem is, your issue is to go out there and beat the Cincinnati Bengals no matter who the hell they have. I know one thing, Mike Tomlin, I'd rather be facing Joe Flacco than Joe Burrow. I know that much. 4-game losing streak for the Cincinnati Bengals after starting out 2-0 under Zach Taylor. Outscored 79-9 in first halves during this 4-game losing streak. 79-9. You see, this is why I say stuff like Zach Taylor's going to be looking for a new job. Because first of all, understand something. It's likely he's likely at fault as to why Joe Burrow is injured. Constantly out of shotgun formation. Never just behind center. No RPOs, no play action, none of that stuff. And you're putting him out there as a target for defenses to put a hat on him all night long. This is why Joe Flacco came into this season with season-ending injuries in two of his first 5 years. And in all likelihood, it's probably going to be three in his first 6 years. That's on Zach Taylor. For the first time in about 7 years, Zach Taylor's team remembered to play in September, because there's two games. You start off the season, first two games of the season, that's 12 games over 6 years. Zach Taylor's teams were 1-11. I call for a national investigation. What the hell are you doing in the offseason that your team is never, ever ready to play come September for an NFL season? How the hell that happened? So these are the kind of questions that we had about Zach Taylor. Then you turn around and you win the first two games of the season. But Joe Burrow goes down, and ever since then, you've lost four straight. And then losing four straight in the first half of four games, you get outscored by 70 points. 70 points in the first half of four games? 70? I mean, that's just horrible. But that's what's going on with the Cincinnati Bengals. I think when you got a Ja'Marr Chase and you got a T. Higgins, individuals you paid because Joe Burrow, the face of the franchise, insisted that you do so, I think you have an inherent obligation, if you're Mike Brown and the ownership in Cincinnati, to make sure you go out there and get another coach that can handle some of this stuff. Because I don't think Zach Taylor's the answer, even though he did coach them to a Super Bowl a few years back. One they lost to the Los Angeles Rams, by the way. I'm just looking at, and how did they lose that Super Bowl? Aaron Donald ended up sacking Joe Burrow to finish the deal. And we know how much of a stud, how great Aaron Donald was. My point in saying all of that is to say it ended in a sack. Why? Because Joe Burrow wasn't protected and couldn't be protected because he's never been protected by Zach Taylor. So that's what we're looking at right now when we think about the Cincinnati Bengals. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I got to win this game tonight. I just got to win this game. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. Another topic that I wanted to get to, and I want to put this to bed once and for all, is the topic involving Caleb Williams, quarterback for the Chicago Bears. And for some reason, it involved Troy Aikman as well. Now, apparently, even though it wasn't taken too seriously, it was a troll on social media. And then after that, a post-game conference following up stuff. Not post-game, but an off day where Caleb Williams was talking to the media. He was asked about, you know, what Troy Aikman had to say when Troy Aikman attributed luck to a touchdown that was scored by the Chicago Bears that ultimately ended up in a win, et cetera, et cetera. And Caleb Williams spoke on it saying it's not that big of a deal, but he just doesn't listen to it, doesn't listen to the noise, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Here's what I want to say about this. A couple of things. Excuse me for saying it, but we got too many people out here in today's world that are just full of it. I mean, evidently they're starving for clicks and they want to attach substance to things that clearly lack substance. They ain't fooling no damn body. It's a waste of our time. Let's get that out of the way first. It's just a complete waste of our time. So we want to say that first, because Troy Aikman is calling the damn game with Joe Buck. They are the A-team. They are the A-team. Okay? Joe Buck is one of the great play-by-play voices in American history. American history! Baseball, basketball, I'm sorry, baseball, football, golf. It's Joe Buck. It's Joe Buck. A very ordinary name, but his credentials, his resume, his capabilities are far from ordinary. He's Joe Buck. That's number one. Number two, this dude, Troy Aikman. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand how y'all could forget. I thought the world was filled with Cowboy fans. You know that disgusting, nauseating fan base that gets on my last damn nerves at least once a day? You mean those people that walk around even when they stink to the high heavens? You know we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, right? You know we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, right? You mean those Cowboys? Well, you know what? The last time you won a Super Bowl was January 28th, 1996. Who was your quarterback? It was Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman was your quarterback for your last three Super Bowls. He's a three-time Super Bowl champion. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. And we're acting like it's a big deal that he noticed that a football team was a little bit lucky. To me, it's no big deal at all, and I'm not saying Caleb Williams treated it as a big deal, but why even clap back at somebody saying that, look, luck, doesn't luck happen on a football field? Hasn't every team been able to say, we really, really were lucky today? Did the Chicago Bears play their best game on Monday night against the Washington Commanders? Am I missing something? Couldn't they have played better? Couldn't they have been more efficient? Haven't been riding the coattails to some degree of an opportunistic defense that's created at least three turnovers per game over the last three games? That's walking around with a plus 10 in a turnover ratio margin. Am I missing something? Troy Aikman has the temerity, the unmitigated gall to point out the flagrantly obvious, not to mention having the credentials to do so, and we're actually making this a story? Really? Now, I'm somebody that's sympathetic to Caleb Williams most times. Because coming into this season, Game one of this season marked the 18th game of Caleb Williams' career. Last year, he played all 17 games. Caleb Williams was on his third head coach in Ben Johnson and his fourth offensive coordinator. How many people have had to deal with that in football inside of 18 months? But now look at him. 9 touchdowns, just 2 interceptions, a 3-2 record, even though they started off 4-2 last year, completing 61% of his passes, 1,179 yards passing, right, 98 QB rating. Listen, Caleb Williams can ball. I believe in Caleb Williams. I want to state that for the record. I really, really do. I really do. But I don't believe in this kind of nonsense. Listen to him talking about this whole little situation that people are trying to make into some brouhaha. Listen to this.
Yeah, I could care less. It's kind of how I think I've said multiple times over my time being here. Fair, not. Life isn't fair. People are going to say what they have to say. We win, we lose. People have stuff to say. It was lucky. It was not lucky. People have stuff to say. Have a bad game, have a good game. You know, people have stuff to say. So it doesn't matter. We're only worried about what's going on here within this building and with these guys. So that's all I can say about that.
I get that it's not a big deal to him. But he's commenting like it was some big deal. And my issue is, what did Troy Aikman say? First of all, he wasn't wrong. Secondly, he's entitled to say it. And third, it's not like he's on a radio show or he's on television the day after making it into a subject. He was calling the game in real time, right there at the stadium in Maryland. He's watching the Commanders and the Bears play, and he's saying on that out route that Swift took 55 yards for a touchdown, it was luck. He lucked up in the guy missing the tackle and lagging on a play. What's the problem? What is the problem? And my attitude is this. If Troy Aikman, who does this for a living, color commentary, he does it for a living, and he's a 3-time Super Bowl champion, if he doesn't have the right to point out something we saw on a football field without clapback, who does? Who does? The only person on television with more credentials than Troy Aikman to talk football, one could argue, is Tom Brady. And that's only if you're measuring by rings. The man's football IQ is off the charts. He's a big-time quarterback on the National Football League level. If concussions hadn't derailed him, who knows how many titles the Cowboys would have won. What's the problem? Folks, it's something else, man. Folks, it's something else. But it is what it is. That's how it goes. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. Once again, that's 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646, plus your voicemail messages at SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. Got Dan Orlovsky coming up a little bit later on in the show to break down NFL Week 7 coming up, starting with tonight's game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals. Got some more NFL stuff to get into as well. Got some baseball stuff to discuss after Seattle got smacked around, surprisingly so, last night in Game 3. And, of course, there's some NFL, some NBA stuff to get to. That's always the case. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls and more in a minute.